Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, friends and neighbors, enemies, robot enemies. Good morning to the feds and the spooks and the spies. Good morning to all the Jean Le Carré freaks that live in the shadows. Good morning to the mechanics and the snipers, the killers for hire. Good morning to the burglars and the robbers, to those who live on the dire side. It is December the 27th. December the 27th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. But I think, my friends, and I know I sound crazy, I think Bo Blimp Doc is just about over. And I remember telling somebody that predicted the end of the world every Thursday back in 2020, if you know, you know, that I thought the nonsense couldn't last longer than 5 years. Like, I was surprised that snow day could last longer than 90 days. And then it became obvious to me that something else was going on. It wasn't just that people were being manipulated, but that a lot of folks, and this happened in late 2019, a lot of people had their antennas turned on. A lot of people knew something was wrong, and it wasn't, oh my God, I might lose my job. It might be a little bit worse than that. So they latched on. They latched on to the lesser catastrophe. BLM, Antifa, George Floyd, Putin, fucking drag queen story time, up the butt, yin yang, oh my God, Biden's crazy, his son is lazy, everything's sleazy. We latched on to garbage, and now we're latching on to Miracle Mega Man. But I'm telling you, it's bullshit, and it's not personal. If you go swimming in the ocean and you get eaten by a shark, don't bark. It's not personal, man. Get over that shit, as the tinier fish eat what's left of your flesh. You're hiking all alone in the woods, thinking about Robert Frost, thinking about the path less traveled, thinking about the choices you've made, thinking about, you know, the deep and dark woods and shit, and the cost of this life and the dreams you have. But you fall down a hill and fall ill with a bone sticking out and a blood trail to follow. Yeah, the coyotes will eat you out hollow, buddy. And it's not about you, bro. Let the coyotes feast in peace. If you travel to Spain in a robot plane and you go insane because the plane crashes, you turn to ashes, it's not personal, bro. You could have died from Coca-Cola and Pop Rocks, just like the little life cereal kid. Whoever the president is, doesn't matter. Bush, Reagan, Clinton, Nixon, John F. Kennedy thought he could do something. It doesn't matter who the president is, it's totally not personal. If your final destination is supposed to be some fucking FEMA camp that Alex Jones talked about, or one of those plastic coffins that Alex Jones talked about, or more likely, dying of hunger in a chaos-torn city, because after 2020, unless you're a fucking idiot, you should know the city you live in is the FEMA camp. It doesn't matter who the president is, it doesn't matter, and it's not anything you did. We're cool, buddy. It's not personal. Your neighbors from across the river have dropped nearly 100,000 tons of TNT on your small town. In the space of about a year, most of the people you know, the ones you hold dear, are dead. No one cares. You wander empty streets, broken, rubble-strewn streets, finding little food or water, looking for whatever you can find. Don't worry, as you die of thirst and hunger, or the next bomb that drops, the good news is it's not personal. If you see a mushroom cloud forming in the distance, but not too far in the distance, and a super fast motherfucking overblast going 800 miles an hour beats you down, don't frown. You're cooked and dead, baby. You got the neutron scars. You ain't going to no bars no more. Reverse O Fred. You're dead. But come on, man. It's not fucking personal. If freaks come out of the woodwork in clusters, like, I don't know, for me, September 2019, spring 2020, or right about now, huh, if you know, you know, those freaks are visiting many such cases, all races, and it's not personal. It's just the budgeting line at Langley. Ain't nobody ever gonna audit. Shadow banning, weird clicks on the phone line. Strange new friends that direct you, you know, towards goals that are not yours, baby. It's not cool. It's kind of fucked up, but buddy, it's not personal. It's not personal. Ask the Wagyu beef lady who was at the GOP convention last summer. She read the RDoS for Papa Blump. It's not about you, man. It's not about me. And it's definitely not about Jesus. And it's not personal. She and Trump will replace your ass at the aerospace company with necessary STEM labor. More planes will crash. More will turn to ash. No one will give a fuck. And yeah, it's not fucking personal. Ask the Sikh lady. America, the United States of America, has been, in that weird Hitler-Albert Speer order that never was executed, America has been wired to explode. Work on this demolition project, in that figurative sense, began decades ago, before most of you were fucking born. Papa Blump and his many miracles thus far, it's the plunger on the detonator, triggering the electric current. And the plunger's going down. And none of it, not one shred of it, is your fault. None of it's because you either paid taxes or didn't pay taxes. None of it's because of who you voted for. None of it's because of where you live. None of it's because of who your parents are. None of it. If you take it personally, and I don't care your belief system, atheist, Christian, child of Jacob, Hebrew, who knows? Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. I don't care, whatever your belief system is. Don't take it personally. We're living in a very dangerous time. And in ordinary times, people die, people make mistakes. People make bad choices and bad things happen. And sometimes they are kind of personal. But if the king decides to kill the peasants, you know, to kill a bunch of peasants, and I don't care what century you're living in, I don't care the century. It could be the 11th century. It could be the year 7000 BC. It could be today. And if you take the fact that the king kills peasants periodically, personally, if you think it's about you, well, it's not. It also doesn't mean you have to take it. You should fight. You should stand up for yourself. In that sense, it's a choice. But it's about survival. And it's not personal. Whatever. Anyways, Gardasil 9, if you're a woman or a man, whore. And the key is that if you're a slut, it doesn't matter what your gender is, if you fuck around, and you're under the age of 45, you could get this human papilloma HPV fucking virus, some type of fucking, you know, woman with too many cats disease. And you might want to take Gardasil 9 to protect you, Gardasil 9, but understand, your doctor may recommend screening for certain HPV-related cancers. Routine cervical cancer screenings are still needed, so even if you take Gardasil 9, you still might get the cancer. The most common side effects include injection site reactions, headache, blunders, brain worms, fever, nausea, stinky bloody poop, dizziness, tiredness, all kinds of weird abdominal diarrhea, sore throat, and farting can also happen. Oh, it says fainting, but I really think with all that other shit, there's gonna be some farting too. So make sure, if you're under the age of 45 and you're having massive amounts of sex with all kinds of strangers, make sure you get the Gardasil 9, okay? Yeah. Dan, your attitude stinks. It's Friday. It's around 6:19 a.m. It is December the 27th, and fuck you. Good morning. Fuck you, I love you. That's how we greet each other, you know, in Danetics, in Danarchism. You know, that is the Boblimpdoc way for Grinkin' Man and Whoa Man. Good morning, fuck you, I love you. Good morning, fuck you, I love you. We clean the plate, it cleans the palate. It's a little glass of water while you're wine tasting. Good morning, fuck you, I love you. Good morning, fuck you, I love you. Get up. So we have a lot to get through, and I really don't want to do a super long podcast. The next topic deals with the whole STEM issue. In 2019, and again, I'm on record, so I don't give a fuck, I told people that the STEM thing was bullshit. And I believe that, based upon my own experiences, the necessary Chinese and the necessary Indian software folks were not only not necessary, but I think it did a lot of damage. And I don't think it was accidental. I think it goes into the whole, you know, wiring America to explode. These things are connected. They're connected, just like the fucking math textbooks. You know, they're basically setting things up in such a way that multiple generations of people are not really capable of solving problems. Not enough. Not enough. And so it basically is a way of creating demand for some supply that wouldn't have existed if the public school system wasn't so fucking broken. And none of this was accidental. And none of it's personal. And if you want to know if Trump and his family are connected to those institutions that fucked over multiple generations of public school kids, the answer is yes. The fact that you're deluded and think he's your savior makes you fucking crazy. It's like the Wagyu beef lady. And anyways, from my perspective, another thing to consider in this whole issue is that, and I'm just going to say it, a lot of people have said Japan was going to be the first country that we would consider one of those special countries to tip over. I think it's going to be India. I think India is going to tip over this year, which means that even though it's always in kind of a roiling state of chaos, I think it's going to boil over into civil war. And it's going to be more like the classic definition of civil war. But think, you know, Yugoslavia, 1990s, but at a much higher scale. I think it's going to tip over for lots of reasons, not the least of which is that they might not be able to feed all their people next year. And the thing about famine is that it has all types of knock-on catastrophes. You know, famine itself kills people, but famine leads to war, chaos, violence, crime, because people be hungry and they'll do anything they can for more food, especially if they got kids. Yeah. Did they tell you that in the urban prepping camp? You know, when you went to the barbecue last summer in Seattle with all your neighbors and said, oh, I got a whole basement full of... Yeah, you did, didn't ya? That was really fucking stupid, bro. Anyway, you'll find out. You'll find out. Anywho, I kind of think India is about to tip over. And it's a lot like the CIA telling Israel, you know, 18 months ago, that if they don't take care of the situation in Gaza and other places this year, they might not get another chance. Huh, I wonder what that was about. I think this is the same thing. I think they're trying to prepare the United States for a huge flood of people from India, and it will become a humanitarian crisis. So yeah, I think India's about to tip over in 2025. You know, you can check me on that. But I think it could be worse than that, so let's continue. I don't want to talk about the weather narrative. Nothing about the weather today matches what I experienced as a kid. All old people say it. It seems to me that there's kind of a news blackout around the Arctic, and it's existed since late 2019. I'm sure that's an accident and random. The great thing about the stupid war in the Ukraine, even though it doesn't really match any military science I've ever studied, is that it shuts off the Arctic, specifically the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf. And again, I don't want to go into the bugbear, but here's the thing I will tell you. If people are saying there's nothing wrong, that these atmospheric rivers are normal, that the obvious geoengineering is not happening, they're gaslighting you. That's my opinion. They're gaslighting you. And Zero Hedge loves to gaslight people. And they do this in lots of funny ways, where they will sort of feed your instincts one day, and then the next day tell you how crazy you are. So it's really optimal gaslighting. Next topic. Oh, more gaslighting. Now, you know, fucking Robert Malone and Chris Martinson are jumping on the Cywar train, huh? You're not going to talk about the virus crawling up people's poop pipes again, Chris? Fuck you. Here's what I got for Christmas. I got time to tell you what I got for Christmas, but I don't have much time left. A tired and swollen heart, a liver that never quits, a mind split, or schizoid, as the docs say. That's what I got for Christmas this year. I wanted to hunt quiver buffalo so that my girlfriend Sadie could make me mixtapes and Alabama breakfast, if you know what I mean. Her quill thrilled me, and the great chase was upon us. Nothing can stop us, not even the dawn of Robot Man and his robot massage oil strategies. Magic fingers in the bed, Motel 6, sure pal, you'll see it. That's what I got for fucking Christmas. What the fuck did I get for Christmas? Shambles, broken promises, ominous signs and portendings. My Christmas Saturnalia, evil Santa party HQ is full up on cocaine poetry. And Master of Ceremonies has not yet arrived, but the MC is coming. Doesn't matter what I wanted, it's what I get. I was ready for the Ice Princess and for Luke and Laura to spend the days of our lives in Dallas with Mr. Rogers and the A-Team. Rudolph, after spending Christmas Eve getting wasted, stands tall upon the precipice of your manor as a fat old weirdo scuttles down your chimney, delivering the bounty of whiskey pain and cigarette burns. That's what I got for Christmas, too. I chipped in with Charlie from Camp Easter. We served the Megalomite Wars of 2088, and then we were sent back in time for vacation and rest and recreation and restoration. Southern whalers battling Dixie ski boats and bikini tasters stood against us at the Battle of Mooks, but the Jersey boys won out, and the Rat Pack was sent to Wyoming to fish for bear mackerel. I wanted a train for Christmas, but instead I got that and multi-dimensional genital crabs. Merry fucking Christmas, happy fucking New Year, genital crabs. My ghost warrior struck gold a month ago. after savaging the renal failure freaks of Quadrant 22 Bravo. They spent their monies on whores and guns and buns covered in gravy. As the night ends, so also their furious obedience to Dionysus and his arts. Then, when the sun rose, my house was on fire and the sky riddles were left in faded ink. That was a hell of a Christmas, wasn't it? What did I get for Christmas? What did I get for fucking Christmas? Broken families, broken faith. Merry fucking Christmas. Brother and sister turned against each other. Wars and rumors of wars. Merry fucking Christmas. Famines and floods. And a distant ballad sung in the darkest way. A gift is coming for this Xmas for all the Roman swell. A taste of honey and bale and hell. A witch's brew just for you made by elves in France. And it has a blood-soaked wrapping just for you, pal. And on it is written Happy New Year. Good luck in 2025, you fuck. Good luck. Spoken, uttered, like a fucking curse. Oh, fuck, my alarm's going off. Dan, your alarm's going off. Fuck you. Yeah. Well, it turns out next topic. By the way, you know, there are lots of good songs for your playlist for 2025. If you haven't added Police Synchronicity 2 or Astrud Gilberto, All That's Left Is to Say Goodbye, another song you should add to your 2025 playlist, Radiohead, Everything in Its Right Place. You know what I mean? Dan, you're going to get some type of a flag, will I? I sampled 20 seconds, I don't know. Another good song for your 2025 playlist, but again, I've mentioned this song previously in the last 5 years. Mike and the Mechanics, Silent Running. So, I did my last podcast a week ago, and I don't want to go into why it's been a week since the last one. I think it's been pretty productive overall. I generally average about, I guess, so many per month, right? But you always have spaces there, and the averages don't always work out the way you expect them to. So I haven't had much to say, or I haven't wanted to say anyways, much anyways. But I'm going to have a little bit of coffee here, if that's okay. In the previous podcast, I uttered 12 and 20 equals 32, which is true, but what I should have, excuse me, I think I said it equals 36, but actually, I meant to say 12 and 24 equals 36. It's not a big deal, you know, it's errata. I said 12 and 20 equals 36, no, it equals 32. I was going insane because I was tired, I don't care. I mentioned the errata because, you know, if you make mistakes, you should fess up to them. Next topic. Oh, boy. So there's a movie that I have been trying to find for a long time, and it goes back to when I was a kid. And if you'd asked me the title of the film when I was a kid, I probably would have said something like, how can I put it? I probably would have said something to the effect of, Junk Storm from the Center of the Galaxy, or something like that. Because that's the memory I had. The film came out, I think, in 79. And the title of the film is The Day Time Ended. And here's the thing. This film proves that if you have a good soundtrack, and relatively decent special effects for the time, for the age, and your actors don't suck completely, then you can have a movie that has pretty much no plot. In fact, has so little plot that at one point, one of the main characters, maybe the main character, the old dude, basically gives you the plot because nobody's going to figure it out, because everybody's going to think, oh, this movie's about junk from the center of the galaxy. And all of it heading towards the desert. Yeah. But it's a weird film, because the way I thought of it as a kid is very different from the way the movie was supposed to be interpreted. And to me, it seemed way more strange and scary to have some stream of ancient garbage. Imagine, you know, like the great island of plastic in the Pacific Ocean? The giant fucking Geyer Island of plastic and garbage, styrofoam, the continent of styrofoam. Well, imagine there was a galactic equivalent of that, and periodically it broke apart, and chunks of it flew off into the distance due to centrifugal forces and atomic behaviors and all kinds of space-time bullshit. And then a chunk of that comes towards the Earth, and it's been traveling for eons, basically a big old garbage island, and it's filled with all the garbage of the universe. Some of it's really fucking cool, like little robots that come around and try to kill you. Some of it's these weird monsters that fight all claymation-like, and they seem to have personalities, but hey, they're kind of funny too. Sometimes it's a little green man that jumps around, about the size of a dildo, and you know that's what the lady was thinking. Yeah. Anyways, this could be interpreted as one of the worst science fiction movies of all time. Except for sometimes movies are so bad they're good. So this is called The Day Time Ended. And it is, like I said, it has a pretty good soundtrack. And it starts out strong by sci-fi standards. And then it just ends up nowhere, to the point that the old cowboy, after finishing off a fifth of whiskey, has to basically tell you the whole plot. Oh boy, I think it's some type of, yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Dan, you're a son of a bitch. I know, I'm a son of a bitch about the day time ended. I know. I get it. So this next topic deals with some of the miracles. miracles and weird things. Like, Trump is basically saying he's going to, what, take back Greenland and take... Or no, he's going to take Greenland from the Danes. Which, again, I'm not a fan of Denmark, so I don't give a fuck what happens there. But he's going to take back the Panama Canal, which, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think this is going to happen. But it's funny. It's funny. It's at this point, and probably the day after the election, it stopped being about Trump. It's about this bimbo eruption, this eruption of Trump supporters from all corners. You know, people who hated him a year ago. Oh, I love, he's saving America. He's going to bring back American jobs. He's going to make America great again. But these are like liberals and Democrats who are starting to say it. And I kind of expected that. I mean, in a way, if you really looked at the assassination attempt, quote-unquote, from July, it was clear that he was going to be the person that was going to be chosen. It wasn't really about voting, but it was about the narrative. And so now Trump is doing miracles. And you have to ask yourself, you know, if Zero Hedge is giving him credit for prices going down and for houses being sold and Bitcoin spiking or whatever, if already we're giving him miracles, what does that mean? I remember Obama back in 2008. He was another miracle man. And frankly, so was Trump in 2016. And I remember telling people, Trump was this year's Obama. He was the Obama for conservatives. But if you really look at the people he's choosing to put in his administration, these are not conservatives, folks. These are technocrats. These are people who want to run your fucking lives. They'll talk all day about reforming the FBI. Shocker, if this whole fucking train wreck doesn't explode next year, the FBI will only get bigger, you fucking dumb fuck. He doesn't want to reduce the size of government. He wants to build more weapons, build more bombs. Can the Pentagon account for 20 trill? Doesn't matter. Soon they won't be able to account for 40 trill. And that's assuming the train doesn't wreck soon. Really? So yeah, if you get into these miracles, you can get into them. I don't. The miracles do nothing for me. Nothing at all. Next topic. So I've had a 2-week break, and technically I've got about a week left. And I've set some lofty goals for the 2-week break. I think the goals were dangerous, because again, it puts me in a weird, weird sort of a 2 or 3 mind state. And can I do this? Why can't I? Why can't I do the things I want to do? I'm not helpless. So you know what? I'm going to try to finish the first draft of Bigfoot War 1. That's about at least 3,000 to 4,000 words a day until the end of the break to get the draft done. Huh? Will I? Who knows? I'm going to try to set up my shortwave JS-8 station again and do some other work. I don't know. I hope to get some of that done. Maybe I will. I want to do about 20 hours of training, you know, for work next year. You know, basically covering assignments for Algebra 1 and 2 and Geometry, blah, blah, blah. I'm falling in love again with perfect squares and radicals. But the break starts and I buy 2 or 3 boxes of beer and cigarettes and whiskey. I dunk it all in 3 days and then enter a 10-day rampage. I give myself 1 day to recover in jail, and then I get fired in the new year, maybe. The break starts, and I put forth a good effort with the riding bullshit and the various steed duties of notes and goats and polynomials. I'm doing great, but the harlot queen Desdra shows up with love oils and romance squirrels and arsenic soda. She's only wearing a black trench coat, all naked and tingly underneath. She grabs my powder monkey. I stroke her boovula. And she moans and groans. The night becomes morning. This could happen with a likelihood of 1 in 3.5 billion. But it could happen this fucking Christmas break. I should knuckle down and get some shit done. But I'll be the escape artist on TV. Screaming into a hot mic demanding room service, or will I stand majestically upon the mountain of completion and goals met? I've said too much already, and the target audience is tired of toilsome concerns and the burns from radiation. I canceled my Discover card and left the Bard at Stratford by Avon. I closed down shop like the Rug Warehouse from 1986, working on its 8th consecutive going out of business sale. Who knew bankruptcy was so tight? We tuned in to Up All Night, and Gilbert Gottfried calmed the storm of youthful torment with his Tromaville flicks and his dickish voice. Let us rejoice the forever going out of business sale, ever green and clear. So we move on to this Christmas season this year because we got special presents from special fucking people giving us paws for claws. If the cause is made of bras. With big boobs and a story to go with them. Red fishnet stockings and a bit of the reveal so you can steal a look. Nope. The grope game is so Japan 1987 and that's over. It's basic. I see you on a Tokyo subway platform in 1999. You're wearing coal black slacks and a Pierre As If I Care blouse. The louse next to you is drunk and angry. He sees your butt and takes a grab. Like a slab of meat, you look into his eyes and he sees his principles, his backwards lifestyle, and decides to make seppuku soup for the elves at the pole. That's the name of a strip club he goes to. And that's Christmas too, in a bonded world of regret and torture. So yeah, I'm going to try to get some shit done this Christmas time break. I got to write about 30 to 40,000 words in the next week. Yeah, is that likely? I think there's a 50% chance. But I don't know how hard I'll try, right? I represent the winners at the end of the rainbow. I represent the cool tribe of tripe filters and the alley cat fish boulder hockey. I will make a steam bath for you, baby. Can you swim this Christmas? Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. We live in a crazy world. Here is a quote from Dr. Freckles, and this is a well-trodden topic for my podcast. Between medicine and anthropology, it's hard to determine who had the biggest fuck-ups or the most diabolical scams. Between the anthropologists and the medical doctors, it's hard to know who is the bigger ass. Is it Piltdown Man? Is it COVID-19? Who's the bigger fucking, you know, dildo covered in Vaseline? The anthropologists or the medical doctors? Yeah, I pissed off a necessary healthcare hero on social media that I'm fairly convinced was a faker. And you know, it's a lot like that mom joke, if you know, you know. The reaction tells you everything. If you're an anthropologist or a medical doctor, fuck you. No good morning, no I love you. Just fuck you. Next topic.
Dan, you're terrible.
Ugh. Oh, I'm going to translate tariffs for you. Tariffs equals dollar collapse. Next topic. Dan, what do you mean? You're going to find out if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, it's a lot worse than dollar collapse. Oh, more in the news about eggs and egg viruses. I wonder if we're going to hear more news about food processing plants catching fire, or cows exploding, huh? Or maybe at this point in the game, we're going through what I can only call stealth dollar collapse. By the way, that would explain a lot of H-1B visas being traded. That would explain a lot of eggs and cows and, you know, chickens and other things being, you know, traded because they don't want our fucking money anymore. They don't. The Chinese don't, the people in India don't, nobody wants our fucking money. But you know what? They will take food. They'll take food, they'll take gravy, they'll take that. Yeah. What do you think stealth dollar collapse looks like? And it doesn't look like what that one guy, oh my God, what was his name? The golden donkey, the golden asshole. Yeah, it doesn't look like what Jim Willie was talking about. There ain't no dirt dollar yet, but what I can tell you is they're probably taking the chickens and the cows that you think are exploding and dying of weird viruses, and they're probably trading those for HDTVs at your fucking Costco. Next topic. And that's if you're lucky. That's if we're lucky, man. Ugh, look at this. Okay, so I joked 5 years ago. More or less, I joked 5 years ago. About, you know, Woodland Park Zoo. And it was about 4 years ago. I joked about Woodland Park Zoo selling elephant meat and tiger meat and bear meat. Again, it was on a blog. GoDaddy sucked up, destroyed. Fuck GoDaddy. No good morning, no I love you, just fuck you, GoDaddy. The situation in Africa has been bad enough in places like Namibia, where they are taking elephants and hippos and chopping them up and feeding them to people. Here's the thing, folks. At some point in the near future, the animals at the zoos are going to get eaten. They'll be eaten by people. And, oh my God, that'll never happen. Woodland Park Zoo would never... They won't have a fucking choice. Okay, I don't think contemporary Americans have any understanding of the word famine, to include me. And once we really understand that word, things like hippos getting eaten or any type of animal from the zoo is more acceptable than what in reality will follow that. You know, a modest proposal. Next topic, because I don't want to spend all day on this bullshit, right? Oh my god, US reveals it has more than twice as many troops in Syria. Fuck you. If that's a big reveal for somebody, I don't know what to say. Oh my god, Denmark's gonna start taxing farts. Well, shit, if you're gonna inject yourselves with Gardasil, you better. Next topic. Oh my god. Y'all wanna go down to Scobly's after work? I'll go down there and sit right next to your millennial ass. All smelly and crumbly. Flakes of gray, decaying skin, discarded from my head and face. And I will scratch my head and that shit will drop into your pint of $9 beer. You want me to come down? Okay. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. I drink alone because it's too expensive to drink in public. It is, you know, totally Irish. I don't know. So already we're being told, excuse me, oh my god, you burped, Dan, yeah. Despite all the miracle stories, because Trump's already doing miracles, we're also beginning to see these stories, and we expect to see them, about how Trump can't do nothing. They're setting up the narrative, so if Trump comes in and bad things happen, well, Trump couldn't do nothing against Fauci. Trump can't do nothing. I know, I know. And me personally, I don't think Trump makes it to June. I think he goes to the farm before then. We'll see. But I think, you know, they'll blame the Iranians. And Trump will go to the farm. And J.D. Vance will make Tulsi his VP. And then, you know, we'll see. I mean, it sounds a lot like stuff you'd read about in the Bible. But they're already publishing the articles about how Trump can't do nothing. In addition to the articles where Trump is doing miracles. And if you're asking yourself, Dan, isn't that like a crazy contradiction? It is. It is. It's doublethink. And guess what? That's where we're at in the game. Most of your neighbors are quite capable of doublethink, and no amount of convincing will prove to them that those two thoughts are a contradiction. Trump can't do nothing, but he's doing miracles. Well, that's great. That's great. Next topic, ugh, suicide drones. Here's the deal. I've only ever seen one suicide drone. And it was in the movie Creator that came out last year. Everything else is a guided missile. It can be a remotely controlled guided missile, or it can be autonomously guided. But it's a guided missile if it has an explosive and a guidance system, a target, and then it takes out its target, or it loiters until it can. That's a guided missile. Yes, guided missiles in the last several thousand years have gotten quite smart, frankly, in the last 70 years since World War II. You know, in fact, during World War II, the Germans had experimental, remotely controlled bombs, or what you might call drones. They had them. Doesn't mean they worked well, doesn't mean they were nearly as advanced as what we have today, but they existed. And they didn't call them suicide bombs, because here's the thing, folks. Suicide is a choice made by a being in a state of consciousness. It's, you know, if you point a gun at somebody and say, you kill yourself or I'll kill you, well, that's not really suicide, that's murder. If you built a bomb for the purpose of becoming consciously self-aware so that it would choose to kill itself, that's murder. It's not suicide. Oh, I'm sorry. But in fact, these drones are not conscious, they're not self-aware, they are guided missiles. And so when Zero Hedge uses a term like suicide drone, they're mind-fucking you. This is the key point, okay? All of these drones are guided missiles. None of them commit suicide. If you believe you purchased a drone that might commit suicide, then you need to call the drone suicide hotline. Or it's too late. Next topic, because this one's too fucking stupid.
The suicide drones.
Yeah, okay. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Don't look for their weaknesses. Look for their strengths. Don't look for the cracks. Look for the skills. Don't look for the weaknesses. Look for the strengths. This is good advice. And it's counterintuitive to a lot of advice people generally give, but it's kind of better advice. we focus on weaknesses a lot, and not just in terms of people we compete with or even enemies. We focus on weaknesses in terms of our peers, our colleagues, you know, our customers. And maybe we should instead look at the strengths. It's just some advice, you know. If you work with people on a team, you could probably spend all day listening out what's wrong with people. But maybe one day a week, maybe some of the time you spend should be spent on, you know, making out a list of things that makes your team strong and what makes that person strong. I don't know. Because we all got weaknesses. And yeah, it's low-hanging fruit, I guess. But it's the strengths, I think, that we want to look to. Okay, so basically, I got through most of my topics, even though I was in a shitty mood. I included a link in the notes to some other crap you can look at. I don't fucking care. It's almost 7 a.m., but not quite. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. I'm doing okay. I guess we're all kind of doing okay. I don't want to scare people or give you fear you don't need. But I just have this horribly ominous feeling about 2025. And it reminds me of how I felt about 2020. Like the world was about to change in a big way and people weren't ready for it. And it feels worse right now. The attitudes of people are worse. And all of this Trump love fest is too fucking crazy to be this fucking crazy. So I want to say, you know, Happy New Year, good luck, all that, but I don't know what to tell you. I can at least say this, your biggest problem in 2025 is probably not going to be unemployment. I'm not saying you won't lose your job. I'm just saying your biggest problem in 2025 will probably not be unemployment. If that helps, I hope it helps. It's Friday, December the 27th, 2024, Dan. We're not in 2025 yet. No, we're not, but I can feel it pulling at us. In a few days, it will be 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. In a couple months, my five-year window is over. I kind of hope I end up eating crow, because if I can't eat a fake cake crow cake, basically German chocolate cake shaped like a crow, then I could very well be eating literal crow. So I'd rather eat the figurative crow come April, May. What do you think, guys? Wouldn't it be nice if all this bullshit just kept rolling along? I don't know how it does it. It doesn't make sense, but does it mean it can't? A lot of things in this world don't make sense. Could just keep rolling along, just like it has. Have a great Friday.